1 through 8 responsively. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. The Word of God says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And together, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." And let's pray. Lord, this is a powerful portion of Scripture, and one that is still relevant to us today. And so I pray that you'd help us as we look at this concept and then pull one verse out of this that we read to focus on and to learn a truth today on this Veterans Day. We're thankful, as we said, for the freedoms that America provides. Pray that you'd protect those freedoms and that you would continue to give your people a space of grace here that we can serve you and worship and do all that you'd have us to do. Lord, I pray we'd be busy about it, not just use times of rest and blessing for our own purposes, but that we would use them to further your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn how to give honor to whom honor is due today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And today on this Veterans Day, I just want to preach a simple message entitled, "Celebrate Your Heroes Biblically." Celebrate your heroes biblically. Humans love heroes. Think about that. Humans love heroes. It is a natural thing to have heroes or people that you look up to in your life. From the beginning, mankind has elevated people of renown to places of special respect and honor. And the Apostle Paul here in this portion of Scripture says something very interesting in verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So the Bible is saying, give honor to whom honor is due. And I think that's a good thing. I think that things like a Veterans Day are a good idea. Just every once in a while, just to remind us to say, hey, pay special attention to those who have sacrificed for you. And you know that I kind of like special days in general. I love Thanksgiving. I mean, we ought to eat the turkey. Just eat it. Eat as much as you can. And eat it and then watch football and take a nap. That's the way to do it. If you do it any other way, you're wrong. And no. But I think Christmas, of course, we celebrate the birth of Christ every Sunday, but I don't mind a holiday where we say, celebrate Jesus' birth, especially on this day. Resurrection Sunday, I know that, for example, Christmas, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, it's just a day set aside. And Easter Sunday, that wasn't the day that Jesus rose from the dead, but it celebrates that day. And so I think it's a good idea to have some special days set aside throughout the year. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day. I don't mind all of those things. Most of those are good ideas that just help us pay attention to people we ought to be and things we ought to be paying attention to anyway. Amen? And I know you can say, well, some of them have pagan backgrounds and all that, and I know, but I'm still going to eat the cake and do all those things. Why? Because God wants me to, that's why. But praise the Lord. A Veterans Day, though, I tend to like those holidays most that are the more pure. Veterans Day is just kind of one of those pure holidays where there's not a lot that goes along with it. The world hasn't really figured out how to monetize it yet. It's Veterans Day. And I love that, to where we can just pay attention to those that have served our country. And we need to learn to give honor to whom honor is due. That's the Bible mandate. Now, this verse is interesting because it's tucked inside of a chapter where the Bible is teaching us the Christian's relationship to government. And the Bible teaches us to respect government and pay our dues. It's an interesting thought. And we won't take the time to dissect this whole portion of Scripture. But remember, government is one of the things that God created. So God created the family, God created government, and God created the church, the three main institutions that God has created over time. And what's interesting is God created government as a way to help people, as a way to protect people. Government was basically started as a way to protect people who are trying to do right and to punish those who are trying to do wrong. Now, government today in 2018, a lot of people think government is meant to take care of you. And I'll tell you, that was never God's intention. We're supposed to take care of one another as God takes care of us. And this idea of cradle to the grave, government stepping in and taking care of you, folks, anytime that you buy into that, what you'll find is they will do it at the cost of your freedom. It'll come at a very high price. They'll lower everybody's standard of living to an acceptable level that they decide, and then you'll lose a lot of freedoms as well. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that the way God set it up initially was a wonderful thing. Government was initially made to protect the people trying to do right from those that would be evil and try to hurt them or take advantage of them. And the Bible here tells us that a godly government is actually the minister of God, that they're actually helping do God's will. Now, the problem with government is when government gets to be ungodly, what you'll often find is instead of simply punishing evildoers, they will also punish people who are trying to serve God. That's why the founders of our country said very clearly that a wise people would choose godly people for government positions. And nowadays, I remember in a recent presidential election, I can't remember which one it was, but sometime in the last 10, 12 years, someone came out and said they were a Christian. There was actually a debate on television, do we want a Christian president? And I was like, excuse me? Can you trust someone who's a Christian with the nuclear codes? Because what if God tells them in a dream to... Well, first of all, you fundamentally misunderstand what a Christian is and how Christianity works. But, I mean, there's been a shift, hasn't there? Now, I say all that. That's not the message today, but I say all that because this verse that we're going to look at is found inside of a chapter dealing with the Christian's relationship to our government. And the Bible says that we are to pay tribute to, and I hate to say it, but that means taxes. How many of you love paying taxes? Oh, I love tax time. Don't you love getting your paycheck and you look at your check and go, look at all that money going to a good cause? No, none of us like paying taxes, but we do. And I think it's the right thing to do. Now, some Christians think it's not. Most of them are in jail. And so, but I'd rather pay my taxes, be out of jail, continue serving God, and trust Him to make up the difference. And so, but the Bible here tells us all of those things. So we are supposed to respect our government, but wait, there is one exception. That is until the government demands that we disobey God. So the government can ask me to do foolish things. It's the law. They can ask me to do ridiculous things. It's the law. They ask me to disobey God. No. And so we have to have that line. By the way, that's why tyrannical governments always suppress Christianity, because we always have a higher loyalty. Every Christian has an ultimate higher loyalty than whatever government they happen to be under. And that's why they try to get rid of it, because it's, even if you imprison, just like we read in that song, or sang in that song, Faith of Our Fathers, even if you imprison a Christian, he's still in heart and conscience free, right? And so Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says this, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And that was when they said, you can't talk about this Jesus. The Pharisees, the government of the Jews of Israel said, you can't talk about this Jesus guy. We forbid you. It's against the law to mention the name of Jesus. And they said, we just parted company because I'm going to obey God rather than men. So we have to have that fine line, but we also have to understand that our relationship to the government. Now, having said all of that, those of you that are angry with me and still with me, let's look at verse number 7. Nobody's angry at me, are you? No. Well, maybe. No. All right, look at number 7. "Render therefore," so having said all this, and the verse before that says, "pay tribute also." So he just got done saying pay taxes. But then he says, verse 7, "render therefore to all their dues." So now he says, I want you to pay your taxes, and then he's going to use that as a launching pad for a greater truth. He said, matter of fact, don't just pay your taxes to the government. He said, give everybody what's due them. And he says, tribute to whom tribute. Now, a tribute just means like assessments. That could be a government assessment of any kind. And by the way, the Romans were famous for assessing taxes and payments from the countries they controlled. But here's what's interesting. So the Roman government were stationed in Rome, but then they would go in and conquer other countries. And then the countries they conquered paid taxes, but the Romans didn't actually pay. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? And so, but a little bit of history. So then it says, custom to whom custom. And this speaks of tolls specifically, taxes specifically. But then it says, fear to whom fear. That word fear is the Greek word phobos, where we get our word phobias. You know what? There are some things you should be afraid of. Right? How many of you are afraid of snakes? You know why you're afraid of them? Because they'll bite you. They don't care. They're not thinking, I'm not going to bite this nice lady. Right? How many of you are afraid of alligators? Have you ever seen an alligator? You ever been close to one? You should be afraid of alligators. Why? Because they will eat you. They don't care. All right? Bears are so cute as long as there's a wall between you. But you know what? I don't want to be with a bear out in the woods. Some guys went bear hunting, and the bear actually starts hunting you. I'm afraid of bears. You know why? Because they will eat me. You know, there are certain things that we ought to have just a natural fear of, not an undue anxiety. You know, the truth is, sometimes we're not afraid of the things we ought to be afraid of, and we're afraid of things that will never happen. Most of the things we worry about will never, ever happen. But the things we ought to be worried about, we don't care. Listen, I am scared to death to get out of God's will. I'm terrified of it. I don't ever want to get out of God's will. I'm scared to miss church. I don't want to go a day without God's word. I know what will happen to me if God ever separates me from this book. I know what will happen to me if God ever, or if I ever get out of God's will. I know what will happen to me if I ever get stiff-necked and stubborn and proud and get out of God's will. It scares me to death. And I ought to be scared of it. But how many people today, they don't say, whatever, I'll do what I want to do. Hey, it's my life. I'll do what I want. Got fear in the wrong place, don't they? What are they afraid of? Oh, the recession. What's the stock market doing? You know, it's funny. Poor people don't care what the stock market's doing, right? People say, Pastor, what about the stock market? I don't have any money in stocks. I'm trying to make it this week, amen? And so, although people say, well, you ought to pay attention because it affects your whole life. I know it does. But I'm trying to survive this month, right? And so,
But how foolish is it to rob God and then worry about the stock market? I'm much more afraid of robbing God, not giving my tithes and offerings, than I am what's going to happen on the NASDAQ this week. And see, sometimes we get our phobias wrong. We get our fears all mixed up. And the Bible says, render fear to whom fear is due. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this isn't just fear like, oh no, God's going to hurt me. It's a fear that I understand who God is. And I don't want to disappoint him, but neither do I want to cross him. Right? I respect police officers, but I'm also a little bit afraid of them. You know why? They won't eat you. They'll throw you in the back of that car. I've told the story here before, but I got falsely arrested one time. I mean, thrown in the back of a car. I disappeared for 8 hours. Nobody knew where I was. And I'm sitting in the back of a police car thinking, what's going on? You know, a matter of fact, I told the guy, I said, why am I here? You know why you're here. No, really, I don't. I walk up to the counter when I get in the holding cell, and they said, why are you here? I don't know. Well, we don't know why you're here either. Go wait in the holding cell. I mean, it was like something out of the Twilight Zone. But let me tell you something. I learned that day. Sometimes the system makes mistakes, amen? But at the same time, I don't run around in fear either. We have policemen park all the time here. I walk up and say hi to them. I wave by policemen when we drive down. It's not a fear that's like, oh no, they're going to get me. But neither am I like these kids that have no fear and they're cussing out policemen and throwing stuff at policemen, all that. That's just foolish, right? So the Bible says, render therefore to all their dues. The dues speaks of a sum owed. Render means to give. And then he says, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom. Those are both financial type situations. Fear to whom fear. But wait, then he says, honor to whom honor. The word honor in the Bible speaks of value. It's actually a term that speaks of monetary value. But wait a minute. So there are some people in this world that ought to have value to me. Did you get that? I think everybody ought to have value just because they're part of the human race. Do you agree with that? I don't think there's ever a human alive that God made, that God gave the breath of life, that's not due normal human courtesy. God made him. God loves him. I don't judge people based on the color of their skin, how much money's in their bank, what town or country they live in. Everybody is due a certain amount of respect and honor just because God made them. The Bible actually talks about that. Do a word study on the word honor in the Bible. It's really interesting. The Bible says honor all men. Sometimes people are just owed normal courtesies and honor. I'll be respectful to you. I want to be a gentleman. Why? Because you're a human. I think it's a good idea. The Bible says honor kings. God's given us authorities in this world, and so I want to honor them. Even if I don't always agree with them, I want to give them honor. And I don't care whether it's President Trump or President Obama or whether I agree with their policies or not. You don't ever hear me talk about Obama and you don't hear me talk about Trump. It's usually President this and President that. You know why? Because I want to honor the office. There's something in me that says, I want to give a little bit of honor to that place that's special. I think every child ought to honor their parents, whether you're young or old. Honor your parents. Why? Because they're your parents. And sometimes they don't act very honorable even. But kindness, respect, dignity, all of that is always due. Would you agree with that? Now, the Apostle Paul here is building off a teaching actually taught by Christ. Hold your place here and look back at Matthew chapter 22. And look at verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him. That's Jesus in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. This was a political sect that were loyal to Herod, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now remember, the Romans were fanatical about loyalty to Caesar. And a matter of fact, they considered Caesar as a god, not just as a king. They knew that if they could get Christ on record going against Caesar, that they would have something that might stick in court. They couldn't find anything moral to get him with because he was the perfect Son of God. They couldn't find anything unwise because he was the wisdom of God in bodily flesh. But they said, if we get him going on record against Caesar, and they said, oh, he keeps talking about this kingdom and he's a king. Well, what would the average king do? I'm not going to give money to Caesar. I'm the king. Oh, but they totally misunderstood what Jesus was teaching. Look at verse 18. But Jesus perceived their what? Wickedness. Boy, there are some wicked people that just try to tangle you up in your words just so they can have something to say against you. And then he said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Verse 19, show me the tribute money, the tax money. And they brought unto him a penny. Don't you wish your taxes were a penny? Yellow. It's not the same kind of penny we have today, but still. Verse 20, and he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? So just like our money today has images on it, who's on a penny? Anybody remember? Lincoln. On the Roman money, there was a picture of Caesar. And so Jesus said, whose is this image and superscription? Verse 21, they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render. Notice that same word the Apostle Paul used later. Render therefore unto Caesar the thing which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Pretty wise. Verse 22, and when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They said, wow, this guy is good. Now, he's better than good. He's perfect. And so we see later, go back to Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul here building off the teaching of Christ, that Christ said, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God's the things that are God's. God was teaching them back then, listen, I'm not trying to build a kingdom here on earth right now. He came first as the suffering lamb. He'll come back later as the lion of the tribe of Judah. But they misunderstood that. But then later the Apostle Paul here teaches us, render therefore to all their dues. So he said this concept, this principle goes far beyond taxes. It goes, render to everybody what you owe them. Now, wait a minute. That means there are people in my life that I owe a debt. There are people in your life that you owe a debt. And God says, pay them. I'm not talking about monetary debt. Watch this. It's an honor debt. It's a debt of honor. It's a debt of value. There are people that have done things for you, that have given you value, that have sacrificed for you, that you are to recognize their value, sense the debt, and repay them with honor. I may not be able to pay you with money. I may not be able to pay you with all the things you did for me, but what I can do is pay you with honor. I can give you respect. I can show you your value and repay you in that way, right? So now we get the term, render honor to whom honor is due. Now, the introduction's kind of long. The message is actually pretty simple, just two quick points. That means there are people in our lives that we have owe a debt to. And let me say, number one, choose your heroes wisely. Choose your heroes wisely. I ask you today, who are your heroes? And don't tell me, just answer it in your own head. Who are your heroes? A lot of people have sports heroes. And everybody knows Tom Brady's the GOAT, right? Nah, he's the GOAT. And I respect him for that. I respect him for how he can throw a ball. But wait a minute, does he get the same respect as people, the same honor as people that have made me who I am? No. See, one of the big mistakes we make is we have sports heroes and musician heroes and actor heroes and famous heroes. And what happens, if you don't choose your heroes wisely, they get bumped up to the very top of the list. I mean, we've got posters of them on our walls as we talk back to our parents. We've got their stuff and we talk about them. Have you seen the new whatever it is from? But yet, we don't talk about Jesus. And I learned a long time ago, as a teenager, I had all the wrong heroes. What you'll find out about famous people is usually if you got to know them, you wouldn't like them very much. You find this often with actors. They played a character one time that you really enjoyed, and then you start learning about him in real life. It's like, wow, he's a loser. You know, I wouldn't even like to drink a cup of coffee with her because they're not very good people. We can have sports heroes that are immoral and vulgar, but boy, they can shoot a basketball or they can run real fast or they can. So what happened when I got saved is I had to learn to literally transpose my heroes. I had to switch positions where all the heroes that I thought were important to me, they went way down on the list. Now, I still respect Michael Jordan as one of the greatest basketball players ever. How can you not? Watch this. You like that? That's, I know it looks just like him. I know it does. But a pudgy Michael Jordan. And you know, it was scary, especially when it's falling towards you. I had like a 3-inch vertical in high school. I mean, I was a bad dude. You know, you got all these heroes, but what happened is I had to learn to put the real heroes in my life on top. They got way down low on the list, and sometimes I just took them off my list because I figured out they were not very good people at all. Matter of fact, many of them even hate my Savior. If you hate my Savior, you're not even on my list anymore. I'll pray for you. And so, but what about veterans? I mean, there are some legitimate heroes that put aside their own feelings of self-preservation to go out and help other people. What about my grandparents? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. What about my parents? And I know whenever you're young, all you do is you can see is your parents' faults and all the ways they're blowing it. But let me tell you something. One of these days you're going to grow up and you're going to realize it was a lot harder to be a parent than you thought it was. And you're going to realize that putting food in your mouth every day and putting clothes on your back and getting you a place to live that's comfortable is a hero type stuff. My mom's one of my heroes. My dad was one of my heroes for other reasons. See, you choose your heroes wisely. They get shifted. My pastor is one of my heroes. The guy that was pastor in the church where I got saved, I don't even know where I'd be if it wasn't for him. Brother Bo, the guy that led me to the Lord, is one of my heroes. My Sunday school teacher is one of my heroes. And so we learn that even Jesus praised John the Baptist as a great man. You remember that? Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Let me read it to you. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So praise the Lord for John the Baptist. But wait, then Jesus says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I'll say this, that earthly praise must be given with a heavenly perspective. Earthly praise must be given with a heavenly perspective. And so I have a much higher estimation of my spiritual heroes than I do just worldly, secular heroes. Because I understand that their investment in me is lasting, it's eternal. People say, well, I don't believe in hero worship. The idea of choosing a godly hero is not man worship, as some would claim. Of course, no man's worthy of worship. No woman's worthy of worship. And that goes whether it's the Pope or Mary or whoever else. Nobody's worthy of worship. Only God's worthy of worship. Amen? Yeah. But we also know that in Hebrews chapter 11, we have what's called the Hall of Faith, where God listed people that are spiritual heroes. You have Abel in verse 4. Remember Cain and Abel. Enoch in verse 5, he walked with God. Verse 7, Noah. Remember him in the ark? God elevates him to, wow, he's a spiritual hero. Look at what he did through faith. But notice the entire Hebrews 11 is not, wow, look at how awesome Abel is. It's look what Abel did through faith. Look what Enoch did through faith. Look what Noah did through faith. Abraham through faith. Sarah through faith. Moses through faith. Rahab through faith. You see, this earthly praise must be given with a heavenly perspective. And so I choose my heroes wisely. I think heroes ought to be chosen for things like consistency and faithfulness, for things like gallantry and courage. Heroes chosen for things like integrity and honesty. Heroes chosen for things like piety, faith, and loyalty to God. Heroes chosen for great spiritual victories they've won. And as I look at my list of heroes, if I'm choosing heroes wisely, I want to look at parents and grandparents and pastors and teachers and preachers and mentors and seniors, people that over the years that have invested in me and made me who I am today. And I promise you, each one of you search your own heart, look back at your past. There are people that made investments in you that maybe they're not even aware of, but they help make you who you are. It creates a debt. So then what do? And let me say lastly, we celebrate our heroes biblically. So we choose our heroes wisely. We celebrate our heroes biblically. And we just do that in three ways. First of all, remember them. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I'm telling you, somebody in this room, this is going to help you if you get the right heroes. And it helps all of us when we look at our life and we start paying attention to the right people. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible talks about the gift of pastors. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So he's talking about pastors here. Remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken the word of God, whose faith follow. Remember, we're talking about with a heavenly perspective. We're looking at their faith. Pastors aren't more important than anybody else. They're not more special than anybody else. They're just people that God's called, put his hand on, given them a place of leadership to help lead and guide as the under-shepherd of a local church. But what we want to see is their faith. Pastors have faults too. Follow me around for a day. You'll find faults. You'll find, but boy, if I don't brush my teeth in the morning, my breath stinks. If I don't take a shower for a month or two, I won't smell that good. I can go about a month. And then, no, it's not. I've never tried that, but trust. But listen, pastors aren't perfect people, but there are people in your life that God puts in there where their faith stands out and their spiritual investment in you is profound. And not just spiritual investments. We could talk about physical investments. Who was it that taught you how to work? Who was it that taught you how to cook? Who was it that taught you whatever trade you know? Who was it that taught you what it meant to be honest? Who was it that taught you what it meant to be a man or a woman? Who was it? And how do we celebrate our heroes biblically? We remember them. I'm guilty of this. I get so busy. Anybody else there with me? I get so busy that I just forget. I don't forget because I mean to. I don't forget because it's not important. I forget because it's one thing to another, to another, to another. But God tells us that we have a debt, an honor debt to pay, and I'm supposed to render honor to those who honor is due. How do I do that? First thing I have to do is remember them, to exercise the memory. I ask you this morning, who won you to Jesus? Who taught you God's word? Who taught you how to live? Who took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself? Who paved the path for you? Who went before you? I mean, maybe in your industry, maybe in your family, maybe in this church. There are people that have gone to this church for a long time, and you wouldn't be sitting here right now. There wouldn't be a church here if they hadn't been faithful to God before. I mean, in every area of life, we can look and say that, man, I need to remember some people in my life that I owe a debt to. Let me say number two, respect them. So first, we remember our heroes. Secondly, we respect them. Romans 13, honor to whom honor. What does the word honor mean? In our normal everyday life, it means to show deferential honor, to regard as worthy of great honor. Let me just encourage you, talk to your parents with respect. Talk to your spouse with respect. Talk to your boss with respect. You say, well, my boss is a loser, he's a jerk. He may be, but you wouldn't have a job. There's a little bit of respect that goes along with that. Every area of life. So we show them respect in our heart. We show them respect in our actions. And then let me say lastly, how do we respect our honors? We remember them. We respect them. Let me say lastly, we remind them. This is so important. I want you to look at me. All right, I want you to look at me. There's something in the Bible called secret love. God's not happy about it. You can have good feelings towards someone and never tell them, and it does them no good. Some of us have secret honor. We really appreciate so-and-so, but we never say it. So they don't know. And I tell you, the people that have made investments in our lives, and this is true about probably everybody in this room, people say, well, I don't want to say too much because I'll give them a big head, or I don't want them to get too proud. Everybody in this room is fighting for your life in one way or another. I don't know anybody in this room that just struts around and, man, everything in your life is awesome. The truth is, each one of you are carrying battles, or you're carrying burdens, you're fighting battles, you're carrying crosses that other people don't know about. What would it mean to you if in the midst of a really tough day, maybe you got a smile on your face, but I mean, you're struggling, someone walked up to you and said, hey, I just want to remind you of a time where you really helped me. What? That's powerful stuff. See, our heroes, they forget how they helped us because they just go from one thing to their lives are busy just like ours are. They don't sit around and every time they look at you think, boy, I remember how I helped him that day. It was a life-changing day for him. He's glad I came along. We don't think that. Usually we remember how we've failed them, right? Well, I can't believe I dropped a ball there, and I can't believe. And maybe they never even think about that. That's where our hearts go. Usually our heroes are in the midst of battle. Can I tell you something about our heroes? They're usually insecure, even if they don't look insecure. All of us, unless you've got a pride problem, all of us are much more aware of our failures than our successes. Most of us in this room right now, if we were to ask you about this or that, in some of the most important areas of your life, you feel like a failure. Am I telling the truth? There are parents in this room, and I'm one of them. I don't know how many times I feel like I fail my kids. But when they come up to me and say stuff like, hey, Daddy, I thank God you're my daddy. It kind of jars me out of my failure for a minute. And it kind of, it's like, really? You know, and the truth is we don't believe it a lot of times. I was like, really? Oh, you're just saying that. The problem is some of you won't let the people in your life encourage you. It's like every man, sometimes your wife will try to encourage you and you're like, well, you're supposed to say that. I can't believe you. Or a wife will say about her husband, you're pretty, and a wife will say, you're supposed to say that. What else can you say? I mean, honestly. You know, and sometimes we will put down the people and not listen to the people that God put in our lives to encourage us the most. My wife taught me this. One of the best ways that you can encourage others is to tell them specifically how they've been a blessing to you. Not just, hey, you were a blessing, but hey, last week when you sent me that text that said this, I was struggling and that really helped me. Versus, hey, last week you were a blessing to me. Or, you know, this morning, whenever you walked in and you grabbed my hand, you shook my hand and you said, I'm glad you're here, and I could tell you meant it. Let me tell you something. That meant an awful lot to me. I was just having a rough week. I mean, you see how it's different if it's specific, if you give somebody a specific way. Don't just tell your wife, hey, I appreciate you doing this for me. Explain specifically, or don't just tell your husband, hey, I appreciate you taking care of the house. What does that mean? Tell them specifically, because this reminds them that the specific things they've done. And so we can remind them with words. We can remind them with cards or letters. We can remind them with gifts. We can remind them at their birthdays. You know, birthdays are a wonderful time for you just to stop and say, you know what, I don't say this often enough, but I'm glad you're my friend. You know, I don't say this often enough, but anniversaries are a wonderful time where instead of a husband or a wife just going and pulling a card off the discount shelf, you know, at Hallmark, right? Who wants to pay $7 for a card nowadays anyway? But rather than just go pay and pull it, you know, take a moment and write something down. And be thoughtful. And it doesn't have to be a paragraph, but even just a few sentences of thoughtful, specific, reminding someone of how much they mean to you, that's a game changer. And then one of the best ways you can celebrate your heroes is pass on what they've taught you. So I ask you very simply today, on this Veterans Day, who are your heroes? Choose them wisely. Because your heroes are who you will aspire to become. And then let me say, lastly, celebrate them biblically. Remember them, respect them, remind them. And then go down and do likewise. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, we're thankful for the time we spent today in your word. I pray that you would help us on this Veterans Day just to touch on this topic of celebrating our heroes biblically. And Lord, there's probably some people in the room that they need to switch out their heroes. They got some heroes in their life, and boy, they want to be like so-and-so, and they just, the best thing in life would be like this group, or to be like this famous person, or if I could just, the truth is they're surrounded by heroes every day if they just pay attention. And I pray that you'd help us to choose our heroes wisely, and then that we would celebrate them biblically and give honor to whom honor is due. We have debts in our lives that need to be paid. Help us to pay them with kindness, with respect, with honor. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, you have someone in your life that is due more honor than you can imagine. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who died on the cross to pay for your sin. He was buried and rose again, conquering death and hell. Heaven is available to you today if you simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, He deserves more honor in your life than anybody. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, let us help you today. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you could put your faith in Jesus. If you're here today and you're saved, choose your heroes wisely. Do an inspection. Take an inventory. And then the heroes that you do have in your life, give them some love back. Give them some honor. Remember them. Respect them. Remind them. Let's stand.